is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt.
My special guest today is Gary Young, or as he's known on Facebook, G. Young. And Gary is an anti-Islam activist, and he is taking Facebook to the federal court, claiming it has breached his freedom of political speech by cutting him out of the Patriot group he administers on Facebook for just 3 days. Gary, you are very lucky. I got cut out of my Facebook account last September when I posted something about the crane collapsing in Mecca. And apparently one of the Facebook chief admins saw it and didn't like it because some of his family members were killed under that crane, so he blocked me. And I have still, now, no access to my old Michael Thomas Holt account. The funny thing is, my Michael Thomas Holt account controls my old Restore Australia page. And when I got blocked back in September, I had about 12,000 likes. Today, in December, I have over 17,700 likes. So no matter what Facebook does to try and limit our freedom of speech, the fact is the truth gets out. So, Gary, welcome aboard, and I'm looking forward to discussing this with you. Can you tell me a little bit about your background first?
Well, it's quite a colourful background. I'm not exactly a spring chicken. I've got definite grey hair. I've been around for a while. The bottom line is that most of my background is in the media business, in the making ads, making television, making, you know, everything that goes into that. You got most of the intro right there, Mike. I wasn't taken off for 3 days. What happened was that I was taken off straight out of the blue about noon. They sent me these dodgy pictures and said, look, if you can recognize these pictures, we'll put you back on. Mm. So it was an impossible task, but I did it. I got it right. Then they said, oh, no, you timed out. You took too long. So then if you'd send us your driver's license, we'll put you back on. So I did that. What about putting me back on? No answer. Yep. This went on until, I guess, about 14, 15, 16 days had gone by. I was then reinstated as administrator, but I couldn't post. Nobody ever told me what the problem was. Nobody said, look, you've done this and that... you know, we're going to take this action, or that you had any sort of due process rights at all. So I thought, well, wait a second. What happened if this happened? What happens if Facebook take you off in the middle of an election campaign? Let's say we've got 3 weeks to go in election campaign, and they just arbitrarily just zip your lip and take you off. Yep. I don't think that that's fair. So what I did is I thought, well, we have a thing in Australia called free speech, which is just what everybody knows free speech as. But we have another sort of free speech, which is called free political speech. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't matter what law or what parliament or who or whatever says you can't do this. If we are discussing something to do with politics and we're discussing an issue like Islam, and someone comes along and says, well, I'm offended. Sorry, you can be as offended as you like, but we, these people who are discussing it with me and I, have this right to discuss in detail, in supreme depth, if you like, to go into every nook and cranny that we need to fully inform ourselves what would happen if we voted this way, what would happen if we didn't vote this way, and what the potential outcome. So we can discuss it. Nobody's ever said how wide it is.
No.
But it certainly transcends any law in this country because it comes from the Constitution itself.
That's right.
It's a constitutional right. Most people don't believe it. Most people have never heard of it. But it's a right of implied free speech that the High Court found over issues to do with politics simply on the basis that, look, if you ask people to vote about this, they've got to be informed.
Well, so, you're right to a certain extent. In fact, I don't know if you've read the Constitution, but I have studied it extensively.
I have the Constitution back to front.
Okay, fair enough. But there is not actually any clause in the Constitution that guarantees our freedom of speech or even any other freedom except the freedom of religion.
That's true. But what the High Court found was that the issues of politics laid out how this is going to happen, how we're going to vote, where the Houses of Parliament are going to be, where the Senate is, right. How many senators, how many reps. They then said, well, look, what happens if everybody is silenced? Nobody will know who to vote for, and that wouldn't be a democracy. That's so then right. they took the other branch, if you like, and they said, well, there has to be an implied right to free political speech so that people can discuss these things.
That's what I was going to say, yes.
A distinctly different thing than free speech itself. Free speech, in fact, the High Court has clearly differentiated between the rights of free speech, which are one thing, and are subject, that would be subject to all the laws of the country.
Well, I would like to join you on that case against Facebook, because I am running for the Senate as a Queensland Senate candidate, and I have been shut up.
Well, I think that the way you've described it there is that they've deprived you of potential voters. They've deprived your potential voters of speaking with you about these things.
That's right.
And I think that they've got a lot to answer for. Frankly, they fight hard, let me tell you. So we won't get into what's going on there because that's sub judice, but in effect, they fight very hard. So don't expect a free ride when you sue Facebook.
Let's listen to a quick song now. This is one I wrote about an old girlfriend of mine in Thailand. Her name was Kesani. Australia Radio Show with your host Mike Holt, and our guest today is Gary Young of Common Cause. We've been talking about Gary's court case against Facebook. Gary, how confident are you that you will win this case?
I feel confident, okay?
Good.
The bottom line is that it goes to a whole bunch of other issues. It goes to, you know, what patriots in Australia really on about at the moment. It goes to the issue of Islam. Mm. If you say anything about Islam, the local Muslims say, look, that offends me. I don't like that Christmas sign. That offends me. This is 18C of the Anti-Discrimination Act. Mm. Now, 18C doesn't apply when free political speech comes into the realm.
That's right.
It applies against free speech, but not free political speech. There's two distinctly different things there. Certainly, Mike, I would ask you straight up to be a witness in the case against Facebook, and I would ask you to come along, and you can do it by phone, by the way. Mm-hmm. You can the court would actually ring you on a certain date and time, and they'll say, okay, when you hear he's on a speak, you're actually being recorded and you are in court, just as if you are sitting in court in the witness box.
I'd be very happy to do that, Gary.
Well, I think a lot of people are, and a lot of people have. You see, one of the big things about Facebook is that, and this may be uncovered in this lawsuit, I don't want to get into too many details about the lawsuit, but essentially Facebook, well, I guess there's no secret about the fact that I'm accusing Facebook Australia Proprietary Limited of passing themselves off as being Facebook itself. And basically, the way I'll do that is to show Facebook in Sydney. They have a page called Facebook HQ. Mm. And it says, in effect, come along and sign up, see what they're saying about Facebook HQ. Now, when you hit the sign up button, it says, look, we've opened our Sydney, Melbourne offices on this date. We're here to service advertisers. It gives you the real impression that they're here in Australia as full representatives of Facebook itself. And then when you go to sign up, and you'll be most amazed to know this, that you've signed a contract with Facebook in Ireland Limited. Mm,
that's right.
And of 100 people or so, probably not really 100, maybe, you know, 85, 95 in that area, but a lot of people, not a single one knew that they'd signed up with Facebook in Ireland. And it just gets murkier and murkier and murkier. I actually think it's P and three thimble trick. And not only am I suffering from that, but I think the Australian tax office is suffering from it in the terms of, you know, almost $1 billion. So any decision in this case may have an effect on what happens with Facebook after this case. Mm. I'm not sure what's going to happen, and I'm not trying to sort of say what the end decision will be, but certainly these same issues are the way they get out of paying tax in Australia.
Right. Okay. Before we came on the show, I asked you what you have been doing, and you mentioned that you had been in discussions with the Australian Liberty Alliance, a new political party, which is actually run and funded by Q Society. What's going on there?
I'd like to know. I've spent the day, and not only today, but if anybody's been watching Common Cause, you just type Common Cause Australia into your Facebook page and it'll come up. If anybody's been watching, they'll know that basically we've got more of the same with the ALA. They're saying, look, we're not going to remove Islam from Australia. Well, there's 3,000 patriot groups out there. Some have only got 50 and 100 and 200 and 300 members. Some have got 5 and, you know, 6,000 members. So on an average, there's 3,000 groups out there. Let's say they've got an average of 1,000 people each. That's 3 million voters who want Islam removed from Australia. And it can be done legally. It can be done very legally. And I've been on to ALA about two simple issues. One is, if we vote for ALA, who will the preferences go to?
Right.
They won't say.
No.
Now, honestly, from a patriot's point of view, we will not vote for anybody who doesn't guarantee that their preferences go to another patriot candidate. In other words, let's say I'm going to vote for you, Mike, and I'm in Queensland. I'm not, but let's say I was a Queenslander, and there's my Senate ticket, if you like, and I'm about ready to vote. I'd say Mike, and then I'd probably say Kim Vega. I'd say St. Pauline. And I'd go down the list like that. They would all be Patriot candidates first,
right,
then probably the Independents, but the very last would be Liberal and Labor, because that's just a vote for Islam. They're both in the Saudi Arabians' pocket. The IMAM, I bet you didn't know this, the IMAM, the Poobah, if you like, the Grand Poobah of the Muftis, or whatever he wants to call himself with all these funny names, actually has total lock on 15 seats in our federal parliament that can't be shifted. He controls totally 15. There's another 12.
How does he do that?
Yeah, this is true. There's another 12 on top of that that are within 2 to 3% of his control. Now, if you work that out, that's 27 seats. There's only about 150 seats in the House of Reps. That gives him one-fifth of the votes in all of Australia's parliament. Now, wait a second. Here's Islams or the Muslims with about 550, 560, maybe let's say 600,000 people in Australia, about 2.2% of the population have a vote of one-fifth of our parliament.
How is that possible?
Well, it's very easy. Let's take Western Sydney. You've got Tony Burke, who was the former Minister for Labor in the Labor Party, right, in the Labor government. Tony Burke looks very Australian. He looks as Australian as you can be. You could never pick from looking at Tony and what he does in Parliament that he's a Muslim puppet. You couldn't pick it 100 miles away unless you start looking behind there. Now, let's look at the votes. Tony won with 39,000 votes. The Liberal Party got 30,000 votes. But Tony's votes were 22,500 Muslims told to vote for him by the Grand Poobah. I think that's totally wrong, personally. In fact, I think it's almost criminal that happens.
Yes.
Well, almost criminal. Probably is criminal. I think with a bit of investigation.
Sounds like vote rigging to me.
Well, it is vote rigging. It's everybody says the Labor Party has, where they're going to nominate somebody, they bring in all these people to bolts to their side. That's all that the Muslims are doing.
Yeah.
Now, when you work it out, Tony Burke then went on to get elected. He became the Minister for Labor. And as a payback to the Grand Poobah, he then issued an edict, or an edict was issued, if you like, that in every meatworks within Australia, there is only one religion, the Muslim, who can kill a beast. That doesn't include pigs, of course, but as far as sheep and cattle are concerned, the abattoir killer must be a Muslim. You can't find in any meatworks in Australia now an Australian employed as a meatworks killer.
This is true. There are 100 abattoirs still left in Australia. 80% of those are all halal certified, and the rest, as you say, still have to employ Muslim slaughtermen.
That's right.
It's a disgrace.
And the reason for that, Tony Burke was paying back the poobah by basically allowing that all meat then can be classed as halal. Now you've got meatworks each paying $25,000 each month to the Grand Poobah's Muslim check account, where they accumulate all this money, and they use that to build their mosques and their schools and whatever else, where they teach basically what is contained in the Quran. I don't know if you know what's in the Quran.
Oh, yeah, I've read it since 1985.
Let me just quote a few things. The Quran at 3.28 says, Muslims must lie to the infidel to strengthen and spread Islam.
That's right.
It says at 98.6, infidels are the vilest of creatures deserving no mercy.
That's right.
Quran 3.28, Muslims must not take the infidels as friends. Now, let me throw you a really curvy one. You remember the television coverage of the guy, the 15-year-old boy, who went to the mosque in Parramatta, obtained a gun, walked out of the mosque, down to the police station, waited for Mr. Chang to walk out, and shot him dead. Okay, the reason that occurred is because Quran 911, isn't that a strange number? 911. There's a coincidence in that I'll tell you about in a moment. It says, Muslims will be rewarded with paradise if they die or kill fighting for Muhammad.
Yep.
And that's at Quran 65.4. Now, frankly, look at it this way. ISIS is fighting in the Middle East. You show me an ISIS fighter, those people are not radicalized. They're simply doing exactly what the Quran told them to do.
That's right. They are the true Muslims.
We should, well, let me tell you, you see a picture of 20 Muslims around and three guys are beheaded by, say, another three Muslims. In that picture, you have three radical Muslims. The rest of them are normal Muslims. They're egging these guys on.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, when Paris occurred, the Grand Poobah couldn't see it within himself to think that that was a terrible thing. He couldn't run down a fellow Muslim. I think that's disgraceful.
Gary, we'll take a quick break now, as I'd like to do a Quran reading. We do this on each show. It's to read out one surah or verse from the Quran and then analyse what it means. So I'll get right back to you very shortly. Each week, we read a verse from the Quran. The verses are called surahs. And this week, we're going to read Surah 8, paragraph 12. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. Now, no reasonable person would interpret this to mean a spiritual struggle. This is an exhortation by the Quran, which the Muslims believe is the direct word of their God, Allah, to go out and kill anybody, strike terror into our hearts, if we do not submit to Islam. Welcome back to the Restore Australia Radio Show. This is your host, Mike Holt. And my guest today is Gary Young. Gary, when you called up Australian Liberty Alliance, ALA, what did you find out?
Today it was confirmed to us that they are not going to stop Islam. Mm. They're going to, because it's a world-recognized religion, according to them, and they're going to try and regulate it. Well, that's wrong on two counts. Number one, you can stop it, as I've just pointed out to you. And Section 116 can be used to deregulate or unregister or take away religious status from any group.
Right. So getting back to ALA, though. Getting back to ALA, let's talk some more about your discussions with them.
Okay. Well, the ALA could do that, is what I was winding up to say. And all we've asked as patriots, and there are, you know, there are 3 to 4 million patriots. I don't know if I've explained it to you before, but there are 3,000 odd groups,
yes.
Average of 1,000 people per group, 3 to 4 million people right there.
Right.
There's probably as many who are not in patriot groups, but people who are just angry about mosques going up in their backyard, that you know, they can't have Christmas because that offends Muslims.
Yeah.
You walk down the street and there's, you know, black letterboxes everywhere. It's not a good sign. This used to be Australia.
Yes.
We can't let this happen. We can't. The ALA doesn't take into account that the first Muslim attack that ever occurred on Australian soil was in, you know, 1905.
Yes.
In Broken, two Muslims shot up and killed six people in Broken Hill. And it's been going on ever since. It's just been swept under the rug. What we have to do is have the guts and the balls, literally, to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, stop the music. We're going to take away your status as a religion. And we've asked ALA, will they do that?
Mm-hmm.
They say, no, we're not going to do that because it's a world-recognized religion. What we're going to do is regulate it. Now, I can tell you, now, 116 of the Constitution, Section 116 of the Constitution, makes it very clear it is impossible to regulate a religion.
That's right.
So straight off, giving us two bum answers. They're saying, look, we're saying we're going to remove Islam, but when you really put us up against the wall, no, we're not going to remove Islam.
Wow, that's worrying news, Gary. I know a lot of patriots have told me they're going to vote for ALA, because they believe ALA is going to expel Islam from Australia. Obviously, that's not the case. I had a look at their website to check out their policies when I started hearing people saying they were going to vote for them. And when you look at their policies, they have one major policy statement which says a lot of good things. But underneath that, they have a list of things that they say are going to be their policies. But when you look at each page, all it says is, refer back to our main policy. This is a bit of a worry because it seems that ALA doesn't actually have a detailed list of policies and an explanation of how they're going to implement them. It's all very well saying you're going to do something, but gonna do and actually doing are two very different things. We'd like to take a break now and listen to the adventures of our good friend, Mighty Mo.
Mighty Mo!
In our last episode, Mighty Mo killed his first Jew. He liked it so much he even wrote something in the Quran to tell all Muslims to do the same. Lucky for Mo, he wasn't seen by anyone, but he needed to get rid of the body. What to do?
I see an abandoned stone quarry over there. I'll throw the body in there.
Mo thought to himself in a flash of brilliant thinking.
This is heavy work. Just one more shove and then he's gone. Well, that's done. Now it's time to go shopping. I need some souvenirs if I am to prove I have been here. Oh, goodness. Will you look at all those beautiful women? I can't stand it. When I get home, I will declare that all women must cover up their bodies to their eyes. No man can withstand the sight of so much female flesh.
Just then, a weaselly little man appeared before Mighty Mo.
What are you doing here, Abu Bakr? Oh, beloved son of Allah, I am here because I am your ever faithful follower, O great Mo. Even in your dreams, so shall I follow you. Are you saying this is a dream, my faithful follower? Verily so, O mighty Mo. How could it be otherwise? Do you seriously believe you can fly around on a white-winged horse? Conjure up a houri from horse shit and land in Jerusalem? In just the blink of an eye? I may be stupid, almighty Mo, but I also understand how the world works. Mighty Mo! Mighty Mo, wake up! Wake up! You are dreaming again!
And with that, Mighty Mo wakes up.
What? What? Where am I? You are dreaming, O Mighty Mo. Dreaming? Why did you wake me up, you imbecile? Because, Mighty Mo, I have come to discuss your marriage to Aisha. She is almost 7 years old. Will you finally take her?
Yes,
perhaps I should. She is so delectable. Eyes with lashes as long as my favorite camel. She is very attractive. Yes, I will marry her tomorrow, Abu. Make the preparations. Your wish is my command, O mighty Mo. I go to do your bidding now. As Abu left, a crowd surged around Mighty Mo. Tell us about your dream, O Mighty Mo. Verily, I have not been dreaming. I have traveled to the most wondrous places. I rode my beautiful winged white horse, Al Burak, to Jerusalem to pray at the mosque. Allah has provided for us there. Then flew to the very gates of heaven, where I met Allah himself. Listen, you will hear him welcome me.
Welcome.
Then I returned to Mecca, where I met a talking cow.
No!
Yes, I did, see? And the cow said, we have not been created for this, but we have been created for plowing.
No!
and mooing and cudding.
Well, the crowd was astounded. They had never heard of a talking cow before. It sounded like bullshit to them. What about you? Tune in next time for more adventures of Mighty Mo.
Mighty Mo!
Well, we just never know what Mighty Mo's going to get up to next, do we? This is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host Mike Holt. And my guest today is Gary Young from Common Cause. Gary, in light of what you've learned from your calls to the ALA, what do you think of the party now? Do you think they're a good choice?
Well, we don't want people in power without, I'm going to do this and this is how I'm going to do it. Mm. A lot of people have said, as politicians, I'm going to do this, please trust me. Yeah. Well, guess what? Patriots' attitude toward politicians just say, you have to trust me or please trust me. It's all over. We're not going to trust anybody. No. We're going to ask, even you, Mike, to write down what you stand for. And we're going to say, look, we want this done in a certain time frame. I don't care whether you actually can get it done or not. And most patriots don't care either. What they want is that you'll try.
That's right.
And once you're trying, and once we see people on our side, we won't need that piece of paper. But for the people who just want a free ride and they want an ego trip and they want to get into Parliament and get the money and whatever else, they're going to find that this piece of paper is a contract and we're going to be able to recall them from that piece of paper because it's a contract with a voter who says, if you'll vote for me, I'll do this.
That's right.
That's a promise to do something. There's an inducement. There is currency. Currency is your vote. And so bottom line is ALA are saying, oh, no, you couldn't pull them back. And yeah. I've said to ALA, look, let me tell you, you promise to do something and don't do it and see how quick that's a real contract. And, yes, we can pull you back. Hmm. So they don't want to talk to us. And so what you've got now is ALA are saying that they want to be mainstream. They're not rednecks.
Oh, that's a strange attitude. I guess that means they think all the other patriot groups are bogans. Well, of course, that begs the question then, who are they going to give their preferences to? Do they understand how the political system works?
I don't think anybody does. In fact, I'm stunned to find how many people are prepared to just vote one and we won't give them any preferences. That would be a void vote.
Yes.
And the amount of people who think that they can do that. Mm. And that's how the Liberals and Labor have stayed in power for 100 years. Yes. If we as patriots understand the system as well as they do, and we do, don't worry, we could educate our people because we've got time before an election now. Right. And it's good that ALA's problem has come out right now because it gives us time to perhaps fix it. We're not, as patriots, as 3 or 4 million patriots, we're not going to say, no, we will not vote for ALA. If ALA comes to the party, puts it in writing, and says, in exchange for your votes, we will do this, and those answers are what the patriots want to hear, then perhaps we will turn around and say, we'll back ALA. At this stage, though, I have to say, I doubt there's a patriot in Australia who'd vote for ALA, which is a shame, because the two candidates are excellent candidates. I mean, you've got Bernard, who's an excellent candidate, and you've got Kira Lee, who's an excellent candidate, both of whom I think are being used as show ponies by the backroom boys at ALA to raise funds and to make these deals about preferences and whatever else, because preferences can involve a lot of money. Mm. I don't think a lot of people understand that either. But there can be a lot of money change hands over preferences. I don't know what's going on. I'm not making any allegations. But if you won't tell me what's going on, I'm left to think, well, why do you want to hide it? Hmm. Why would you want to hide the fact that you said you're going to move Islam? And when I push you up against the wall and say, how? You say, oh, well, we're really not going to move Islam at all. I think that that's fraud in the inducement for me to vote for you. You fraudulently induced, or as ALA, have fraudulently induced me to give them their vote on the basis that they're going to get rid of Islam, and, oh, sorry, we're not.
Well, I think there might, I don't know, perhaps I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, but I think there might be an actual,
with answers that are suitable.
Well, no, I think there might be a simpler answer than that. I don't think that they, because their political
newcomers, I don't think they really understand the political game. And,
I don't think they do either, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Because, frankly, when they say we want to be middle of the road, we don't want to be left or right, who are they kidding? For
That's
God's
right.
sake, how on earth do they think they are ever going to convince one single voter in Australia they're not a right-wing party when they bring Geert Wolters out here?
Yes.
You know, it's just not a possibility. What they say, what they're trying to be is all things to all people. Give right. us the maximum amount of votes. Well, they won't get any votes, number one. And trying to be all things to all people means you're going to do nothing for anyone.
That's right. And that's the problem I see with them too.
Well, but... I do. I mean, to be honest with you, if we played the preference card right, there's plenty of room. There isn't six senators from the Patriot side running in Queensland. We could easily get all six elected.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think we've got the numbers to get all six elected, but I think we could get three or four. And all we've got to do is say, look, this is how it would go. The preferences go like this. Okay, I'm going to vote for Mike. So Mike goes first, Kim goes second, St. Paul in third, Bernard fourth, and down the list we go with Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't get elected, Mike, your vote goes to who?
That's right, the next one up.
That's right, goes to Kim Vega.
That's
and
right.
she would probably have a pretty good primary vote to start off with. So you just got Kim elected. Look at the motoring party.
Mm.
Everybody knows this story, but if you tell it to them, it doesn't register. It goes like this. The motoring party has a senator. The motoring party, for goodness sake. So look at this. Everybody thought they had no chance in the world of ever getting a senator. So what do? They gave him the preferences. What
yes.
happened? He won.
Yeah.
So preferences are everything.
They certainly are, Gary. In fact, I think when people start talking about preferences, they either get very confused or very angry about them. Well, here's a song that I think fits the bill. I Got Lost.
Well, my eyes are open and my mind's awake, but from my neck on down, I'm asleep. I've been on this road for so doggone long, they might have to cut me out of the seat. Well, my foots are getting heavy and my head's getting light and my back, it's beginning to hurt. If I don't get the wheeling to a stop pretty soon, I'll be taking buttons off of my shirt. I got lost, or I could have made it right on time. I got lost, in the arms of a baby of mine. It was 3 a.m, she was all alone, but don't you mention that to the boss. As far as he's concerned, I made a little wrong turn, and from there on out, I guess I got lost. I could stop and sleep, but my freight won't keep. I got a deadline for making a call. I couldn't stay in bed, I got an oversized head, and my hat's about a size too small. I got my Jacob brake off and my windshield smeared. I'm headed south, driving into the wind. The only thing that keeps me hanging on this job is thinking I might want to get lost again. I got lost, or I could have made it right on time. I got lost in the arms of a baby of mine. It was 3 a.m, she was all alone, but don't you mention that to the boss. As far as he's concerned, I made a little wrong turn, and from there on out, I guess I got lost. Well, my stick shifts quiet and my rig rolls easy like it has for many years. Making one long line out of little white lines, I got her going home a humming in my ears. If the fuzz don't get me with that radar bit, I'll be steady creeping up on the clock. I ain't gonna slow her down, I'll wheel it right into town and have my buddy back it into the dock. I got lost, or I could have made it right on time. I got lost, in the arms of a baby of mine. It was 3 a.m, she was all alone, but don't you mention that to the boss. As far as he's concerned, I made a little wrong turn, but from there on out, I guess I got lost.
I got lost.
I got lost. Oh, yeah.
I got lost.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like he had a lot of fun when he got lost, didn't he? But we all get lost when it comes to our political system. It's very confusing. Gary, where do you stand on all of this?
Well, let me tell you just one little thing before we get too far down the line. It's about the right-wing part of the movement. You'll notice that all the media say the right-wing parties who want to ban Islam. Well, let me tell you that I was approached by quite a lot of newspapers and media over suing Facebook. And I did say to quite a few of them, I would not like to be represented as a right winger, because I'm not. I'm middle of the road. Basically, right. I'm a right wing Labor Party and a left wing Liberal Party, which places me right in the center of the road. And do you know that fully 90-95% of the silent majority who make up the Patriots are in that same boat? They're just ordinary farmers. They're just ordinary people. They're the local welder, the local chemist. They're just ordinary people. Don't think I've ever seen a skinhead or a Nazi skinhead anywhere near anything to do with Common Cause Australia, or probably not on any of the 95% of the pages, if you like. Mm. Most of them are just ordinary, average people who are concerned that they don't want their granddaughters wearing letterboxes. They don't want, you know, their son's head cut off because he won't convert to Islam. And that's not all that Common Cause Australia stands for. We also stand for Don't Sell Australia. It's about saying, look, if you've got a property and you want to sell it to the Chinese, go ahead and sell it to the Chinese. Get the best price you can. But the legislation says you can only sell it to them on a lease for 99 years. Right. When you die, you can leave that to your son, because at the end of 99 years, it's got to revert back to the original seller and or his next of kin. We don't, you know, you've got these stupid Liberals in Canberra saying, look, a farm sold in Australia, I can't remember one that's ever been, you know, carted off to China. Don't be stupid. Really, what happens here is the Chinese then bring in their workers. They produce, let's say there's potatoes. They're cropping the potatoes. They put them in a container. They take them to the wharf and they ship them to China. And where did Australia get any money out of the growing of those potatoes? Probably we got money for seed potatoes. We got a little money for labour, a little money for transport, and it would go on a Chinese ship anyway. And so what do we got here? We're growing food that we could be charging good money for and sending to China and getting nothing back from it. Nothing.
That's right.
Not a thing.
Yes, exactly.
And so there is a way to do this. If, for instance, the Chinese want to buy... In Victoria, there's a great example of this, okay? There's a cheese and butter factory down there that's owned by a co-op in China. Well, when I say owned, they own 49% of it. Australians own 51% of it. But
that's
all
the way it should
local
be.
Farmers. Well, the local farm. Well, it wouldn't matter if it was 50-50. The bottom line is the local farmers get paid good money for their milk. There is a good industry there. Everybody in the butter factory is being paid well. And what happens then is that it makes a profit. The government gets some taxes from that. And China, for their part, or the Chinese owners, for their part, have got this great, you know, green food, which they can then sell in China. And they're making a mozza out of it by selling it in China. So that's what I would call a proper arrangement. Don't sell the land. Lease it for 99 years. Got to give it back after 99 years.
Agreed.
Then we say, look, you can't buy a farm simply to ship stuff to China. You've got to buy it and sell it commercially in Australia. And if China wants to buy it, then buy it from that commercial source. Or alternatively, if you like, start a co-op like the one in Victoria. I think we have to start saying, look, enough is enough. There's too many politicians getting too much money in their pocket. There's too many Saudi Arabians rocking around the place with billions to say, look, let me build that mosque in Bendigo. Oh, by the way, we've just paid off the mayor of Bendigo. We've just bought all this land from the mayor of Bendigo. Oh, we'll just get you to approve 22,000 homes here, and we'll just put Muslim immigrants in there. So what you're going to have then is Bendigo, a beautiful city, is going to become Mecca South.
Yes. And people still don't get this. That's the problem
that
we face.
They're getting it. Don't you worry. They're getting it.
Slowly but surely.
As fast as we'd like, but they are getting it. I can tell you now, I live in a country town, and I can tell you, I don't think I'd like to be a Muslim immigrant in this country town.
Gary, let's take another quick break and listen to a great song by a group that very few people seem to have heard about. It's called Ween. And this song is Among His Tribe.
Thank you.
Australia Radio Show with your host Mike Holt, and our guest today is Gary Young of Common Cause. Gary, we were talking before about the place of Islam in Australia and the fact that we are being called bigots and racists. What about Common Cause? Can you tell me a bit about your membership?
The bottom line is, this is Australia. Surely we don't... First of all, you have to understand, in Common Cause Australia, we've got every nationality on earth.
Mm-hmm.
They're all Australians. We've even got Arabs. Mm. They are still Australians. The only thing we're against is that religion. We're not racist because Islam is not a race.
That's right.
Islam can be in Indonesia. It can be in Saudi Arabia. It can be in any place. Mm. It's a religion. And it's the religion that wants to kill people, that wants to, if you look at these, this Imam Chowdhury in England says, look, effectively, whatever place we put our foot, we will just take it over. We'll run it. Do you know that this Mufti Poobar guy I spoke about earlier has already got a new constitution, the Islamic constitution of Australia, for the Caliphate of Australia?
That's right. It's been on my website for a few years.
How insulting is that?
Yes.
And now you've got the Grand Poobah, who can't even speak English. He's from Egypt. He's been here 18 years. He cannot even say, look, we're sorry for the man being killed in Parramatta by one of our 15-year-old Muslims.
Yeah.
He cannot say in Paris, look, we're dreadfully sorry that this has happened. It must be by madmen who are calling themselves Muslims. No, can't do it.
No, of course you can't.
That's exactly what they're supposed to do.
Mm.
That's what their book teaches them to do. That's why there won't be any real problem that I can see. Once we get it into court, there won't be any real problem getting a declaration. We're not going to say Muslims or Islam is outlawed. We're simply saying you can't have a religion in Australia based on this book. Mm. Now, if you take those things out of this book, that's fine. Then you can have the religion of Islam without those things in the book. And then you can have a bit like the Greek Orthodox Catholic Church or the Russian Orthodox Catholic Church. They're not the proper Catholic Church, but they're still enough Catholic, if you like, to be Catholic. Mm. So you've got the Russian Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, and whatever other Orthodox you want to have. I can't see a reason in the world why you can't have Australian Orthodox Muslims.
Yeah.
Would then fit in. As far as this burqa nonsense, this letterbox they wear, for a start, we've got a law which says you can't do that. We've got a law which is called the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which is a treaty adopted by Australia, guaranteed to all the citizens in Australia. Now, if you wear a helmet and go into a bank, they'll stop you. They'll put a gun at your head and say, don't.
Yeah.
You could go in wearing a burqa and they won't stop you. How is that equal protection under the law?
Yeah.
Yet our government has guaranteed the United Nations that we will equally protect everybody's rights under the law.
When did you vote for the UN to govern us?
We haven't voted for the UN to govern us.
Exactly.
And frankly, don't be too panicked about Malcolm signing these things, because frankly, what signed can be unsigned.
That's
the
right.
The only way sovereignty of Australia can be transferred is if we, the people, go to a referendum and pass that referendum. Now, who in their right mind is actually going to let that happen?
Well, that's why I'm standing on the platform that I am. I want to bring in citizens-initiated referendums. And that's the whole platform, because I believe that the people have the right to determine how they want to be governed. So citizens-initiated referendums will give them that power and that right. And then it's up to us to decide, are we going to allow Islam to be practiced in Australia? Because if we don't want it, as you said, we can ban the Quran. We can just say, no, that Quran breaks our... Oh, hang on a second. Sorry. Let me start again. We can, voting as the Australian people in a referendum, ban the Quran because it actually incites hatred and killing and murder and everything else that it does. So we could easily ban the Quran. And then if the Quran is banned, anyone holding that Quran could be arrested and interned. And at that
stage... Well, we've already got a law that would do that. We just need it enforced.
Well, that's the problem.
I know that was a nice segue into your platform for voting there, but that wasn't the reason I brought it up, Mike. Why I brought it up was that if we've got to change sovereignty in Australia by the passing of a referendum, then that's never going to happen for the Islamics, is it? Because we still outnumber them big time.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, you have to understand,
so far,
I don't think they want a referendum, because do you know that we've got about a 30,000 land army? Did you know that? All our soldiers together come to about 30,000, maybe 35,000. The Mufti, the Grand Poobah himself, controls 80,000 fully armed, fully weaponized, bullets in their back pocket security guards in Australia. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
That's right.
Well, we had documents leaked from the police department in Western Australia which showed 730 pages of about 400 per page, with one or two exceptions per page. Every other one was a Muslim. They've all got licenses to carry guns, and they don't have 38 pistols. I can tell you they have military-grade shotguns and the like. They have lasers. They don't muck around. They buy the very best stuff. I can tell you that from personal experience. I can't tell you why I know from personal experience, but I do know it, and you can rest assured that the proper authorities also know it. What I'm concerned about is if they have now got one-fifth of the vote in Australia, and the Poobah's got all this money coming in from Halal, and the Poobah's got 80,000 Muslims at his beck and call, they're all being taught they must follow exactly what he says, you know, word for word, and what's in the Quran. Suppose the Grand Poobah simply says, all right, guys, time to go next door and just take your neighbours hostage.
Yes.
Now we've got 80,000 families held hostage across Australia. It wouldn't matter how many troops you had. You couldn't rescue them.
This actually happened in Syria.
Who controls Australia at that point?
That's right. Well, I actually read a story a couple of years ago about a Christian and a Muslim family living in Syria and had been for generations, always getting along very well. And this imam came into the village and said to the Islamic family, you have to go next door and slaughter the Christians. And the Muslim woman actually said to him, no, I don't want to, that's my friend. And he said, if you don't, I will kill you. So they went next door and slaughtered their neighbours. Mm. And this is the danger of Islam. It is totally irrational and very, very dangerous.
Let's say you've got 100 jelly beans. You know that of that 100 jelly beans, 2.2%, maybe that's only 3 jelly beans, are deadly poison.
Mm.
Are you going to eat any of those jelly beans?
Absolutely.
Do you want
not.
Any of those jelly beans in your jar? Isn't it the same with Australia? We don't want any Muslim jelly beans in our jar.
Mm.
We don't care if the Arabs want to stay here. It's leave Islam or leave Australia.
Yep.
Frankly, very briefly, I'll tell you how you can outlaw. First of all, I've told you how the Constitution will take away their religious status. Secondly, I've told you about the burqa can be outlawed under equal protection rights. Then you've got Section 31 of the Crimes Act, which would make sure that nobody can be passing information from the Quran. We then lock up the mosques because we don't want people congregating where that sort of behaviour takes place.
Right.
What happens then? The Muslims who want to assimilate will stay here and they'll become Australian, fully assimilated people.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are diehard Muslims will get on a plane and go back to Syria.
Yeah, good riddance.
And so what we've had, we've solved the problem of assimilation. You're never going to get a Muslim to assimilate. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You tell me one, but I know these people who are so lovely. Yes, they're so lovely. What do they say about the people in Palestine?
Mm.
Nothing.
Not a word.
That's right. And so basically they're taught to not be friends with you, to lie to you, to do all these things because our only thing in life is to advance Islam.
Hmm.
And who's advancing Islam? Us smugs, the Aussie taxpayers. We've got Centrelink. Do you know that a Muslim guy can go along to Centrelink and say, look, that's my wife, that's my wife, as many wives as you want, as long as he can prove he spends 12 hours a week with them.
Mm.
On that basis, they'll get family benefits. They'll get childcare benefits. Yeah, you have a little look at this. I looked at a photograph the other day. One guy's got about 6 wives. They've all got about 4 or 5 kids. Then there's his brother has about the same sort of thing. And then his other brother's got about the same thing. I work out that between them, they're pulling $300,000 plus per year out of the taxpayer's pocket because one grandma is running a baby care center or child care center, fully registered child care center, no problem at all there. So she gets all of this child care money. The individual mothers get paid for being on benefits. The children get, what is it, a couple of $100 a week.
Yes.
Then they're all living in one house. So they all get this rental allowance and then goes on and on and on ad nauseum. If you went into Centrelink and did that yourself, you would be charged with fraud in about 2 seconds flat.
And so why aren't they being charged with fraud?
Well, they should be because we have like the international covenant that I just told you about. Oh. Article 14 says everybody in Australia will be treated equally under the law.
Mm.
It doesn't say anything about religion. It says equally under the law. And that's equally before the courts, equally under the law. It spells it out distinctly. Mm. Equally before the courts, equal under the law. So what you have here is you've got Burke, the Puftars or the Muftar, whatever, Apubar's appointee, if you like, or blessed one, who is in Parliament today, looking and sounding just like an Australian, but in fact a Muslim puppet, has gone along and said, look, we'll just give you all this halal money. We'll give you money for schools. You give us the votes, Apubar, and we'll make sure your pockets are not empty.
Mm.
And that's what's happened.
That's
so
right.
Who's paying that money out?
Hmm.
Us bugs, the taxpayers.
That's right.
So what we want to do is say, look, we want that Islam as a religion gone, Islam with its Quran gone, or able to be relied on to start a religion in Australia. Take those things out of it, and by all means have it as a religion. And they will never do that. They will never do that. It's been tried 100 times, and they just won't do it. They'll leave the place.
Right.
And so we don't have to deport them. They'll leave by themselves.
Well, hopefully. But I'll be happy to give them a good shove into the water. Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to be mean to the people. We could say, look, you've been here for this many years. You've got a house. We're not going to say sell your house tomorrow. Take 5 years. We'll even lend you at low interest, say 2% interest, half the value of the house, so that'll fund your way back to Syria right now.
Mm.
And you've got 5 years to sell it in the best market.
Yeah.
We'll help all the way along, but we are not going to have Islam in Australia, period.
Yep. Gee, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show. I think we've just about run out of time.
Probably took my head off, have I?
That's fine. That's what you're here to do. And what you've been saying is not only educational, but very interesting. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners have learned quite a lot from you today. So thank you very much for coming on the show. And I'm sure as time goes by and we learn more about what's going on, I'd like to invite you back on the show if you'd like to come.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Sure.
Perhaps when you've won your court case would be a good time.
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
No, probably not. But even so, we've got to stay positive and let's wish you all the best in your court case. I'm sure you'll win through in the end. This is Australia.
I'll let you know anyway.
All right, mate.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye now. Before I sign off, I'd just like to thank all our listeners and Kel Fritzy for standing by just in case anything went wrong. Thanks, Kel. You're a real good one. And next week, my guest will be Raven Hutchins, one of the founders and leaders of Safe Communities. So please join me again, same time, same place. Thank you all, and goodbye.
This is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt, signing off. Until next time, here's a message to Islam. You can try to deny us our freedoms and our rights. You can try to impose your idiotic ideology on us. But you never will, because we believe in freedom, and we will fight you to your death.